Welcome, everybody, to the 1 year anniversary of Magic the Amateuring.
A podcast for you.
You.
Unless you hate Magic the Gathering.
In which case.
Or joy.
Yes. Because we bring joy to you every week. We've been doing it for 1 year, everybody.
We love magic.
Yes.
And each other.
Yes.
Yes.
Although we hate ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we're here to talk to you about magic because we love you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we want to celebrate you, the player of Magic the Gathering, with a podcast for your ears only.
Maybe you've been playing and listening with us for a whole year.
Have you?
Maybe you only started recently listening.
What if this is your first time?
Wow, congratulations. This podcast is still for you.
Yeah.
If you're from 30 years in the future and you're listening to this, this is especially for you.
And also all other points in between.
Yeah, if you're an alien life form and trying to figure out humanity, like, what's that all about? And this broadcast hits your quonkin, which is alien for ear. Mm-hmm. I hope you take this as an honest sampling of the human race.
Unless you're an alien that communicates by emitting and receiving smells.
Oh, yeah, then we are fucked.
Yes.
Siri, play fireworks sound effects.
Can it?
We're gonna see how this goes.
I couldn't find fireworks.
Oh, no.
Siri, play Fireflies by Owl City.
I don't think I have that either.
Siri, play Firework by Katy Perry. I don't know.
I hate that song.
We're trying to celebrate here, people, our 1 year podcast anniversary. We've been with you for a year. We've been through a lot in a year. We've changed. Mm-hmm. We've grown. When we started this podcast, Megan and I were mere noobs.
What did we know? Nothing.
We literally knew nothing.
Gosh,
you guys barely knew that you should attack if there are no creatures on the board. You barely knew that. If your opponent has no creatures, you
guys. What if there's a haste creature? You guys. Instant.
That is one of Ben's favorite stories. When Maria and I first began playing, neither of us, we would just play a creature and then our opponent wouldn't have any creatures and we'd be like,
pass.
Oh, guess I can't attack you.
Pass.
Go ahead.
Probably reflects poorly on me as a teacher.
Probably more so that you were just like sitting there giggling to yourself while we were making these horrendous plays. We're going to spend some of this episode reminiscing about our year as Magic players, going through how we've changed and grown over the past year, and hopefully you can evaluate your play, too, and think about how you've grown over the past year as well. So let's go back to 2012. We had just finished our second draft ever, Megan.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Our second draft ever.
Ever.
You know, and
what
it was...
What a long, dark road was ahead of us.
I'm trying to remember my second draft ever.
Can you? Can you remember your first draft?
I think it was original Ravnica.
Oh,
wow.
Nice.
We were like Frodo, Merry, Pippin, and Sam on the long journey... Mm-hmm. To Mordor.
And I was like Aragorn because I had to reforge my sword.
Yep.
That actually makes sense.
And right now we're probably like somewhere at the end of book one right
now. Yeah.
We're about to all split up. We're going to all split up.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're about to all split up.
And then I'll.
Oh, that's
I
sad.
Wait, did I die?
No, Aragorn? You're Aragorn. You don't
who's
die.
Did someone die?
No.
Gandalf died. You're Gandalf. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
You're already dead.
So our second draft we ever played was a friend draft at Ben's house.
Oh, yeah.
If you recall. We talk about it a little bit on our first episode. You guys, if you want to listen to this episode and laugh your ass off at us, you can go to magictheamateuring.com, click on podcast, go all the way back to the beginning and listen to it. It's only like 48 minutes. It's shorter than our episodes now.
Wow.
But we had just completed our second draft ever, and we said we had a, quote, fast and hard addiction to magic. Fast and hard.
Do you think that we saw ourselves here in a year?
You know, I honestly don't know.
I don't know either. I remember that we started this podcast by being like, hey, do you know what we should do? Make a podcast about magic.
Did you think you would do a year? You didn't think you'd do a year worth of episodes?
I probably did.
I don't think I had any knowledge of what was going to happen.
I mean, I feel like I'm a committer.
That's fair. I don't know if I knew what it would entail. I'm very happy.
Yeah,
with
you
what
have
it
been
entailed.
Engaged like 3 times, haven't you?
like once, Ben. Come in.
But did you guys when you started playing Magic, did you think I'll be playing this game in a year still?
Yeah.
I think yeah. Yes.
Because we both really liked it. That was evident from the fact that we wanted to do a podcast in the first place.
Mm-hmm. I only do podcasts about things that I like, as opposed to web series, which I only do about things that I hate.
Like your one web series called Bullying did not get very far.
No, exactly, because I hated it.
I do a Spitecast about Fireworks by Katy Perry.
It's really kind of one note, Ben. I was meaning to talk to you about that.
There are so many different things I hate about that song, though.
I understand, but I don't know that there were 60 episodes worth of things.
No, I mean, I have a lot of guests on, and sometimes, we talk about other things about Katy Perry that we hate.
I just think your episode about how you really hated the third note of the song was a little niche.
You guys, changing the third note could fix the entire problem, though.
Oh, okay. So we analyzed ourselves as players on the first episode. And we said, Ben, what kind of players are we as we start out on this journey?
Mm-hmm.
Ben
mm-hmm.
said Megan was good at learning the rules and improving.
Wow. That's really nice.
And he said that she had cold analytical skill.
Like a robot or a mummy.
I am a robot.
I think a mummy is cold and analytical?
I don't feel like mummies make a lot of emotional decisions.
I don't feel like mummies make any decisions, but that's just me.
They're probably driven by a power greater than themselves.
That's true. So mummies are sort of like they're following a calling.
The Zahub, the god of darkness and rage.
Wow.
Okay, you made that up.
Yep. That sounds like a Rakdos guy.
Yeah, well, speaking of Rakdos, Ben said that I had passion and was drawing upon my poker background, which was the case.
By which I meant you made a lot of plays that made absolutely no sense. And then you acted like you knew what you were doing.
Precisely.
That's how I imagine you play poker.
I play poker by knowing what my opponents have in their hands, which is not really how you should play anyway. Like, technically, if you play poker.
You mean you cheat?
No!
I mean, you did say that you know what they have in their hands.
I mean, I like to read my opponents. That's why I like to play poker.
Oh. Gotcha.
But if you really want to make money at poker, you have to play mathematically, which is not what I do. I just like to play the mind game of
poker. Well, you do both. You read you get a read on your opponent, and then you use that as the basis of your mathematical calculation.
I have just heard that professional players say once you get to that level, that there is no way to say if that's a tell or if it's a fake tell or if they're just sitting there staring with their sunglasses and their hat on.
Yeah, I mean but you can get a read based on their play.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to start wearing more sunglasses and hats when I play Magic.
You would be careful, your card reflection.
Yeah, card reflection.
What?
Bro.
That's a thing?
In your glasses.
Yeah. I'll get non-reflective glasses.
CR.
That's a thing?
That'd be so creepy.
Just get sunglasses that have normal lenses, just clear lenses.
I will get sunglasses with clear lenses.
Get sunglasses and take the lenses out. Or get like the... Who wears those sunglasses? What rapper is it that wears the sunglasses that just have like...
The strips?
Yeah.
Oh, those are a thing. You can just buy those anywhere, I think.
Yeah.
You can get those at like Target.
Well, okay, I know, next draft.
But there's some rapper, right, that wears them?
All yeah, like them. Kanye or something.
All of the rappers.
Kanye.
The point is...
Yes.
Yeah. So I think in magic, there is to an extent, obviously on, you know, online, you can only make assumptions based on the plays yeah. that you're seeing. Mm-hmm. But when you play in real life, I think sometimes you can get a read on your opponent.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure, for sure. Yeah. Do you do that? Do you feel like you still do that?
Yes, I do still do that. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, it's real fun. That's kind of a really fun part of the game for me. We also learned in our first episode, Megan, that two-headed giant was a thing.
Oh, man.
We didn't know it was a thing.
We didn't know about it. That's awesome.
Yeah, and now we have played two-headed giant together. Yeah,
what an amazing surprise for us.
Yeah, like, it was so weird. Ben's like, I was like, my passionate play and your cold analytical play, we would be like some great two-headed monster or something like that. And Ben's like, I feel the need to inform you that two-headed giant is a format.
That there's a thing where you can both play together.
Yeah.
I think my voice is deeper than that. I feel like
when we played that M14 two-headed giant,
yeah,
that was kind of true. You played all of like the big creatures, the big angry creatures,
and they're red.
Played all of the blue, like, control plays.
Yeah, that was really funny.
That was also the case when Marie and I played two-headed giant. She played all of the mono black devotion cards.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And I'm just like, I'll bounce that.
Yep. That was super fun.
I'll lightning strike that.
I'll bounce that.
Speaking of two-headed giant decks, oh my god. That was the best deck I've ever seen in my entire life, Ben.
Yeah, that thing was unstoppable.
Mono black devotion doing a giant with like four gray merchants.
We should have like kept it and like bronzed it or something.
We really should have.
And you know, I have to say, I feel like at the time of that episode, for a long time, I also identified myself as an aggro player.
Did you?
Yeah, just because, well, I was very creature based for a long time. But yeah. I think Ben, in saying that I was cold and calculating, was actually striking nearer to the truth. Because the more that I played, the more I'm like, I think I might kind of be a control player.
Yeah.
I think I like to be the dick that's like, I'll dispel that. I'll cancel that.
Syncopate.
I'll syncopate. I'm
gonna cancel that.
Oh, you're not gonna play that right now.
I'm gonna go ahead. It's your turn. Banned from modern.
Look at all of my six mana that are untapped.
So, how do you think? What is the biggest way you've grown as a player in the past year, Megan?
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
I think I've just, as stupid and obvious as this is going to sound, I've just learned more about the game.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, we've had all those episodes about, like, the stack or all of, like, the parts of the combat step. I've gotten better at just sort of utilizing all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of like, I'm not going to play creatures during my first main phase. I'm going to play them during my second main phase. So, like, a lot of the kind of, I would say, almost more obvious technical pieces of the game.
Sure.
I've gotten better at using. What about you?
Well, I was a pretty straightforward player back in those times. Very aggressive. And I still really love to play an aggro deck, obviously. But I've been really training myself to play more controlling strategies. And been drafting them on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So that I could... so I could get better at playing them. And I think a big way that I have notably improved is by, instead of just doing something because I want to,
yeah,
doing something because it is the smartest thing to do. Right?
Yeah.
Even when I want to do something, I'll be like, no.
Nope. Gotta save that spell for retirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's something control teaches you. Is the benefit of saving and holding on to your stuff a little longer.
And where do you feel like you're going next, Maria?
Let's see. Next, I would hope to get better at seeing... how do I say this? Of evaluating the consequences to my actions. Because that is something I still do. But I know I'm doing it, okay? So I've gotten to the point where I recognize in myself that I am taking a risk.
Yeah.
But what I should do is, instead of just say, I recognize I'm taking this risk and I know that it'll be bad for me if he is God's willing or whatever.
Yeah.
But what I should do is say, how bad is it for me if he is God's willing?
For sure.
And what will my board state look like if he does? And how will I come back from it if he does?
Mm. For sure. Mm.
And so that's trying to mold myself into an even more disciplined player.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go, Megan?
I've been most recently trying to work on just being more patient and waiting. I was playing the other day, and someone pointed out to me, who was like watching my game at the time.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, like, why would you do something right now? You just don't have any good plays. And it was my turn, and I just felt compelled to do something.
Because you, like, use your mana.
Exactly. It's like, I have mana. I have spells that I could cast, but none of them... I had, like, a Voyage's End, but if I used it right then, I would get an attack out of it.
Yeah.
And that would be it. Like, it wouldn't be... I would just be bouncing, like, a creature with nothing on it that was, like, fine. And so it's sort of like... I feel like that really opened my eyes to being like, I feel like I do that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not patient. I'm just sort of like, well, it's my turn. I better play something. Like, I better do something. But the truth is, if you don't have a good play, the best play is just gonna be to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, sometimes the best play is nothing.
Exactly. So I feel like I'm sort of trying to work on being like, do you know what? If this isn't a good play, like, I don't need to make it just because I don't have another option right now.
How do you feel you're a different player slash person from past year?
Well, I think the biggest change is that I've met a lot more people that play Magic.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Both people I found out a lot of people I already knew used to play Magic or had played at some point and were still interested in the game. So getting the opportunity to sort of talk about the game with different people and meet some better players like Matthias and meet all the people that hang out at Mead Hall. I've just been exposed to a lot more people who play than I had been in the past. Before, I'd kind of, you know, met a few people at stores or whatever, but didn't really have a large group of people that I played with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty big. I mean, we met... If you think about it, how many people, listener, have you even met through playing Magic that, you know, you consider a friend or you talk to or you have events and you play together, that sort of thing? Like, I don't think there's many other games where that's kind of the case.
Yeah. No, not really.
Well, because especially it's a game where, like, it's best in a larger group of people, right? Like, it's best if you play at a local game store because then you get to play all sorts of different skill levels and all sorts of different decks and all sorts of different, like, approaches to playing the game.
Different ethnicities.
Yep. Different heights of people.
Yep.
Different weights of people.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Different teeth.
Mm-hmm. People who wear glasses, people who don't wear glasses, people who sometimes wear glasses and sometimes wear contacts.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes you can be playing someone and you don't even realize they're wearing contacts.
Yeah. Someone whose eyebrows match their hair color. Someone whose eyebrows don't match their hair color.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Someone with no pubic hair.
Yep, okay.
That's the hardest one to tell when you're just sitting across from them.
Yep, sitting across the table. You can always take your foot and do a little crotch tap. Am I right?
What is that?
That's a little move I like to call the trump card.
Hold on. In my mind,
it's a crotch tap.
You're sitting across from someone at a table. You just reach up your foot, and you gently tap their crotch.
Okay, Megan.
Terrible idea. Never do it, anybody.
Several problems
Never
with your
do
technique.
It, anybody.
Okay, first of all, you probably shouldn't be wearing shoes or even socks for that matter. Secondly, your opponent needs to be wearing really thin gym shorts.
Look, if someone crotch taps me, I'm just going to yell out, I have pubic hair. So you'll find out one way or another.
I'm hoping to surprise them into revealing the truth.
Oh, good point. So keep an eye out for this. Well, you can't. You
don't.
Won't see it coming.
And listener, never, please, just don't do that to anybody.
Megan, you're the start of something real bad.
No.
I hope you feel proud.
Oh, God, no.
Something that's different about you, Ben, that you might not remember is on our first podcast, you had not seen Highlander. And now you have.
You've changed in a big way, Ben.
That's true. I have now seen Highlander.
You said it on the show, and I'm like, Ben has seen Highlander. What a life change.
What a life change. Yeah. So, what else happened that first episode, Maria?
I only wish I'd seen it while Elder Dragon Highlander was still a format.
Ooh, can we see what were our cards of the week?
Yeah, we've got our cards of the week here.
Yeah.
Ben's card of the week was, drumroll,
Teleportal.
Esperia Supreme Judge.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too.
That's a good one.
We all, by the way, picked, like, rares or something. Megan, what do you think yours was?
I'm sure it was something Celestia.
Well, you're right.
Yeah, that's Celestia card.
Precinct Captain.
Precinct Captain?
Yeah.
Oh, snap, you guys. I was... Wow, that's an interesting choice on my part.
Yeah.
But hey, you guys, people play him in Standard now, so.
So there you go, good choice.
He has a much better rap now than he did back then.
Much better than Esperia, Supreme Judge.
What do you think mine was, Megan?
It was something that was Rakdos.
Yes.
It was 100% Rakdos. It was
literally
the most Rakdos card possible.
Rakdos, Lord of Riots. Legendary creature. No big deal.
Legendary mythic. No problem.
Classic Maria.
Red, red, black, black. No problem.
Yeah. Casting that in turn four. Shit.
I remember thinking that you guys learning on the multicolored Ravnica format, I thought you were going to turn out to be like mentally deformed.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Because Return to Ravnica or like Ravnica block is so gold card centered, which most.
Because you could only like play those color combinations. I was like, are they going to think that this is how it always is?
I think it was really good idea.
Yeah. I expected it to be harder for you guys.
Mm-hmm. And I think to some extent it was. Like,
no, I think it gave you a very clear roadmap of what to do.
That's true.
I think once we hit Dragon's Maze, you guys were like, had to start stress pooping all over the place.
Yeah, I did stress.
Shit really hit the fan.
I did stress poop over Dragon's Maze, but I don't think we were the only ones stress pooping over that. It gave us a clear roadmap. Like, these are the guilds that you can choose from, and let's find out what's open. Mm-hmm. And that was good because it taught us what each of the guilds was strong in, and that knowledge is good throughout the rest of Magic, unless they drastically change the color pie and its abilities or something like that.
Yeah, and also I think the signaling might have actually been easier.
Yeah.
Because, there's only one or two gold cards from each guild in a pack usually. So, like, it becomes a lot more obvious when those cards dry up or if another guild is still around.
Yeah, for sure.
You guys, speaking of Return to Ravnica, I have a pack here.
Oh, snap.
No.
Are we going to crack a Return to Ravnica pack?
Yeah, we are.
Let's do it.
Some old-time memories.
Yay.
Let's see what's in here.
Let's see what's what.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Wow.
Pursuit of Flight.
Oh, I liked that card. I think everyone generally agreed that was a solid red common. That was a solid
card. Remember how you, in that format, there were so many creatures that had four toughness?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That you just needed something to slap on a dude.
Yeah. That card, yeah.
This one, solid. Yeah.
Trained Caracal.
That was a piece of shit garbage.
No one likes
that. Get that out of here.
No one likes that stupid-ass cat.
Chronic Flooding.
Oh, love it.
Has anybody out there in listener land got Chronic Flooded to death?
What happens?
You put it on your land, and when you tap it, three cards of your opponent mills.
Wow. That's interesting.
To answer the question, I was Chronic Flooded once.
Really?
But to be fair, that was my second draft, I think.
Okay. I think I remember that.
Yeah.
That
card
I remember
is
asking
so
you,
bad.
Like, why did you keep tapping the land?
Like, don't tap that land.
No, I didn't do it. Somebody did to me.
No. What does the card say, Rhea?
Oh. Got it.
Please read the card aloud for us.
Enchant land. Whenever enchanted land becomes tapped, its controller puts the top three cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard.
So if someone chronic flooded you today, how would you play around that?
I don't believe I would tap that land.
Well, that's the thing. Now you can actually look at the card and say, okay, is it worth
Yeah.
Three cards off my library to get one mana.
Yeah.
And early in the game, it's often going to be worth it. And then late in the game, it's often not going to be worth it. Like, now you have the tools to figure out which one to do. And, like, back then, it probably didn't even occur to you.
No.
That you could just not tap it. The land.
Oh, jeez. Giant Growth.
Classic. Oh, perennial favorite.
Yep.
Everybody loves Giant Growth.
Still good.
That's some good Giant Growth art, too. That's good art on that Giant Growth.
This is Noah Bradley.
How much do you miss Giant? How much do you miss? Oh, yeah, we did meet him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We all went on that canoe ride together in that way too long canoe.
Yeah, that was a weird canoe.
Why was it so long?
How much do you guys miss Giant Growth in the current format in Theros?
If Giant Growth was in Theros, I would poop my pants.
I'd be very happy.
It is one green, everybody.
It is one green.
It's one green, and it's +3/+3.
It's pretty bonkers.
I think it would get a little out of control.
Yeah.
There's already
Savage Surge.
That's just a solid... This is just such a solid card.
Yeah, and like there's no one green trick.
No, except
Theros.
No, there's Warrior's Lesson.
Right, there's Warrior's Lesson, but it doesn't really do anything. Thing. So like all the time, I'm looking across my board and I see one forest and I'm like, oh, they could have Giant Growth, except they can't have Giant Growth. They can only have zero growth.
Chemist's Trick.
What does that even do?
That's a blue-red. Target creature you don't control gets -2/-0 until end of turn and attacks this turn if able.
Did you say overload. -2/-0?
Yeah, overload for 3/4/5.
Yeah, don't you remember that card? It was like
-2/-0.
It was like the poor man's Bluster Squall.
Yeah.
It was, I think, kind of an underrated card.
Not a lot of people played Izzet, though.
Yeah.
Izzet was a little underloved.
Transguild Promenade. Whatever.
The best land with no drawbacks at all.
Towering Indrik.
Oh, everybody loves a little Towering Indrik.
2/4 with reach, yeah.
Little spider. Little giant spider.
Exactly.
Runewing. Ooh. Oh, yeah. 2/2 for 3 colorless and a blue. When he dies, draw a card. Yeah.
How many iterations of this card have you guys seen at this point?
A lot.
Yeah.
Do you mean specifically a 2/2 for 4 with some ability?
No, I'm talking about blue creature, something-something flying, something-something draw a card.
Yeah.
they print one every block.
Wait, what's the Theros one?
The Theros one is...
2/2?
Is there not one yet?
No, there's not one. We're going to see one.
I guarantee you.
We had Messenger Drake.
By the end of the block, there'll be one. Yeah, he's like Messenger Drake. Or sometimes it's like, you get to scry. So maybe it's the...
The Scry Mara.
Oh, Scry Mara.
Yeah.
For sure.
Sunspire Griffin.
Oh, everybody loves a little Sunspire Griffin.
This guy's pretty good.
He's a 2/3 flyer.
Yeah, 2/3 flyer, one white, white.
For three. He's the efficient white flyer. This is also a pretty common card.
She's going to get the job done.
Yep.
Perilous Shadow. 2 colorless, 2 black. One and a black. Perilous Shadow gets +2/+2 until end of turn. It's a 0/4.
Huh.
Weird shade.
Weird. Yeah, I don't know about that.
I'd probably play that.
Kotex Shredder.
Nobody cares.
It's Codex Shredder. It's not. It is not a tampon.
When I say Codex? Codex Shredder.
Did.
That's my cat.
You did.
Oh, God.
When he gets in my cupboard.
Gross.
No, I mean, it's not my trash. My cupboard.
Okay.
Look, I don't know where you put these things when you're done.
Well, this is a cat.
Yeah. Also.
Wait, what does the card do?
It's a 1 colorless. Tap it. Target player puts the top card of his or her library into his or her graveyard. 5 and tap. Sacrifice Codex Shredder. Return target card from your graveyard to your hand.
This is also one of those staple cards where it's like, let's make shitty ass artifact.
Yeah.
That everyone will see and everyone will read and be like, oh, I can play this card because it's colorless. And then slowly, through many painful lessons, eventually you realize, some cards don't do anything and they're terrible.
Do you think Wizards makes cards obviously knowing that they're bad just as trap cards for drafters?
What do you think, Megan?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Man.
They're like, they're called, what do they call them? Like lesson cards or something?
Oh, really?
They're like specifically there. There are cards that are specifically designed to teach people that certain kinds of cards are bad.
I would make a card that just electrocutes you when you touch it.
That's
cattle prod.
That's a lesson.
Yeah, this card reminds me of like Witch's Eye.
Oh,
in the current set.
I wonder if I should take this.
You guys, I lost to a guy playing Witch's Eye once. I wanted to kill myself.
I did too, in a PTQ.
Oh man, you guys.
All right, we got Heroes Reunion. One green, one white. Target player gains 7 life. Talk about a lesson card.
You guys, totally. And that card taught me a lesson because I definitely remember playing it
in my first draft deck.
Do you remember? I think I remember like having almost an argument with you, Megan, about this card.
I'm sure that we did.
I love your guys' arguments.
I'm sure that I thought it was totally fine.
This card was also, I think, in one of the... There was like a theme deck or something that you guys played with that had that card in it.
Yeah.
So it was probably like you had played with it in there. And I was like, this is fine. I know this card.
You guys,
no.
If you're a new player, gaining 7 life is not worth a card.
It's not worth a card. Put a better card in that deck.
Yeah.
But a year ago, did you even think about what it meant to be worth a card?
No. I had no concept. No concept.
Because, it's just like, having a card's better than not having a card, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, like, seven life.
That's a lot of life.
That's better than not doing anything on your turn.
And it only costs a green and a white.
I think the light bulb moment for me with that thing was like, somebody said, think about what card could be in your deck instead of that card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized what it meant to be worth a card.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
For sure. What's next?
Okay. Psychic Spiral.
I don't even remember this. Shit.
Oh, shuffle all cards from your graveyard into your library. Target player puts that many cards from the top of his or her library into his or her graveyard. 4 colorless and a blue.
Oh. Blue really had a little bit of a middle theme going on.
Yeah, so what kind of card is this?
Mill City.
Do you remember this card at all?
No, I never played against it.
This is a Johnny draft card.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's supposed to be like...
Yeah.
Like,
get your shit dead.
Yeah, it's like a Johnny thing where you're like, oh man, if I can just get this and like a couple chronic floodings, I'm gonna mill myself and then I'm gonna do this. And it has a 0.2% chance of working.
Johnny is a player who wants to do something, some weird shit.
He's into some weird sexual shit.
What do we got next?
What do we have next?
It's our rare! Pack Rat.
Nice.
I love you, Pack Rat.
Little Packy. Oh,
do you know ready. I've played draft with him? Maybe my 4th draft or something. I had a pack rat.
Uh huh.
Didn't know that I should play it and also leave up mana to be able to make another one. So it got killed immediately.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yep.
So sad. I feel like today.
Yeah.
You would be more dangerous with the pack rat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
you really would.
Although he is one of those cards that rewards you for like leaving mana up until the last possible moment.
Yeah, that is true. That's true. I also love his art. Because you can't really tell where he is. He's in the shadows.
He's a little pack rat.
There he is.
He has lots of stuff in him.
He's hiding in the shadows.
He has lots of stuff with him.
Still relevant, that card. Still relevant.
It is. Against everyone's expectations. Everyone was like, oh, Pack Rat is just like the most amazing limited card ever, but you never played in standard.
Oh, yeah?
Well, those mono black players sure showed you. Huh.
It's not the most amazing limited card of all time, though.
I saw a list that called it the most amazing limited card of all time.
There's no way it's better than Umezawa's Jite.
Okay, that's fair.
What is that card?
Aw, shit, man.
Look it up, man.
Look it up.
How am I supposed to spell that shit?
We've talked about it before.
Umezawa.
We've talked about it before on the show. It is an equipment from...
This one? Kamigawa.
Champions of Kamigawa.
That one. Yeah.
And will you read it for us, Maria?
Yes, it costs 2 colorless. Whenever equipped creature deals combat damage, put 2 charge counters on Umezawa's Jite. Remove a charge counter from Choose one. Equipped creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn, or target creature gets -1/-1 till end of turn, or you gain 2 life. 2 to equip. Yeah, that seems pretty good.
Yeah. So, like, if you have that card, this is one of those cards where it's not necessarily obvious how you would use it right away. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Pack Rat, right?
Yeah.
But once you kind of figure out or, like, see it in action...
You're like, oh my god.
Like, it becomes almost unbeatable if used correctly. So how would you use that card?
However you needed to use it, right?
But, like, what's your general game plan if you have this card out?
To deal combat damage?
Yeah. The only trick with this card is you need to get in one hit, right?
Yeah.
Then you get charge counters on it.
Yeah.
And then you can, like, now at this point...
It's a threat.
There's almost nothing your opponent can do to stop you from doing more combat damage.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you can either pump your own guy or you can shoot their guys or both.
Can you remove more than... You don't have to tap this when you remove a charge counter, so you could just remove 2?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, snap.
And then the threat of activation gets so crazy because you just keep putting more and more charge counters on it. And then you can, like, kill anything, and it goes in any deck, and, it goes on any creature.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys, about a year ago, we had the Ask Siri segment, so... Let's ask Siri.
Sure.
About Umezawa's Jite.
Siri, what is the best limited magic card of all time?
Let me think. Okay, I found this on the web.
Ooh.
Okay, let's see. Ooh, there's
lots of lists.
Yeah. There's nothing that's specifically limited. There's, like, top 100 best magic cards ever.
Mm.
Let's see what happens.
Ask about draft. She's probably confused about draft and sealed.
She probably can.
Do you mean booster draft or Rochester draft?
Do you mean Winston draft?
What if Siri said that back to you? Would you crap your pants?
I would relief poop.
Relief poop?
It's the opposite of stress pooping.
For more on stress pooping, see last week's episode. here's a blast from the past for you, Megan.
Uh-huh.
What do you think our euphemism of the week was, our first episode?
Oh, God.
Oh, wasn't it about tapping... No, it was about creatures.
Yes!
Maria had, one more because she had bigger creatures?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Little did we know that Maria would have breast reduction surgery.
Mere minutes after that podcast ended.
Mm-hmm.
It was really weird. Right in the hospital room, we recorded that.
Your creatures are still bigger.
I called Golgari Longlegs the, quote, card of my life.
Ooh, do you still feel that way?
Do you still feel that way?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of do.
What challengers have come along?
Well, we've had a lot of challengers in every new set. As listeners may know, I picked the cutest card of the set.
Mm-hmm.
And Golgari was super cute. Mm-hmm. And then other cards have come on, tried to knock him down. Like Seacoast Drake was pretty cute in M14.
Vulpine Goliath,
very cute in Theros.
Very
cute. Extremely cute.
I feel like they did that one on purpose.
Specifically targeted to you?
Yes.
Yes.
And Snap, what was it? Snap...
Adaptive Snapjaw. Snappy.
He was pretty cute, too.
Ow. Ow.
So you mean seductive blowjob?
Yeah. Ben's nickname for that card. But, you know, no one can really take the same place in my heart as
your first.
It's always your first love, right?
Yeah.
If you were trying to design the cutest card of all time, what would you name it?
Oh, snap.
Cheeky, cheeky, cheeky. I don't know how you spell that.
I would. I'm gonna take a stab at it.
Okay, go, Ben.
And then Megan, you come up with yours. I would name it if I were trying to design the car that I thought you would find the absolute cutest. I would name it Elkin Fur Coat Rider.
Elkin Coat Rider.
Oh my god, which, that card sounds so cute.
It's an anthropomorphic elk in a fur coat riding on a regular elk.
Oh my god, that is the cutest card I've ever thought of.
And he's wearing, as earrings, trees.
Elk and fur coat rider. Even if it was like a little squirrel who was wearing like a big fur coat on a little elk. Real cute.
I don't have anything that can beat that.
They used to
make squirrel cards.
I know they did. What the heck is going on?
Mark Rosewater is really big on squirrels.
Well, where are the squirrels, Maro?
They used to make cards that would make squirrels.
Yeah, squirrel tokens.
Like Deranged Hermit or some card that like made one every turn or something. But I don't think they're really very magic flavorful.
What about
they're a little too mundane for magic, I think.
What about Stubby Leg McMouser Pants?
Ooh. That sounds really cute too.
He's like it's like a mouse dwarf or something.
Yeah, it's like a mouse with even shorter legs than usual, but he's also dressed like Puss in Boots. So he has like
adorable.
He has like a feather in his hat and a sword on his side, but he can't reach his sword because his legs are too small.
Moose in Boots.
Well, that's what that looks like. Is a really, really fat bird.
I was gonna say it's like a fat chicken.
Really, really fat, and it has a super long beak that's so long that it curls onto the end like a long fingernail.
Aw.
There is a mouse living in my apartment right now, and Maria, I think if you saw him, you would fall deeply in love, because he is the tiniest, most adorable mouse you've ever seen. And
Ben's gonna get him murdered.
I have to destroy him.
No, Ben, no.
I have to.
Listeners, if
any
of those...
Can I borrow your cat?
If any of those cards inspire you to make some art and send them in, we would
be so
happily...
happy. So
you would
happy.
Make Maria's day.
Yes.
You would make Maria's day. Oh. And if it happens to be of Stubby Legs McMouser Pants... I would be particularly happy as well.
So you've got chicky, chicky, chicky.
Although I really like chicky, chicky. I really like the image of chicky, 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 chicky.
So we like McMouser Pants and, what'd you say? Fur?
Elk and Fur Coat Rider.
Maria, let's try to make
oh God.
Megan's card of the year.
Oh.
What's my
Megan
card
into,
of the...
Though? Okay, hold on. I'm going to get it.
I don't know.
What do we know that Megan likes?
I'm a big fan of Vulpine Goliath. I mean, it's a giant fox.
That's true. What about...
I could hug it.
What about bare-breasted centaur man?
No.
What?
200% no.
What?
That just sounds weird. That's super weird and kind of disturbing.
Why? It's just a shirtless centaur.
Oh, okay. Could get behind that.
Cool.
I have an idea.
What, Ben?
I have an idea. It is called Loxodon Ambush. It is a 3-4 elephant for 4.
Mm-hmm.
Like 1 green, green, white or something. And when it comes into play, it counters target spell.
Yeah.
That sounds like that worm. That sounds like that worm.
I like that.
Except yeah, it's
you
like
can't...
the worm, except it counters the spell.
Except it also counters the spell.
Which
Sweet.
You would never get on a white-green, like on a Selesnya card.
No.
But because
I love it.
Because it's for Megan.
Because it's for me.
Oh, you guys.
I love it.
That's pretty cute.
I love it.
Yeah. I don't know if I was making Ben a card, I would make... something that was a really weird fucking combo, so it had to be two cards.
It would be like Tinkerer's
Toolbox.
Yeah. Or Tinkerer's Computer Chip. Oh, I don't know.
Tinkerer's
Computer. What if... I have a suggestion. If you guys want to make a card for me.
Okay.
Santa's listening.
It's like an enchantment that makes a new stack.
You can,
when you play a spell, you can just choose which stack you put it on.
Whoa.
I love that. But your opponent has to use the original stack?
I have not thought through any of the implications of this card yet.
I think everyone gets to choose which stack they put it on. So that it's sort of like a mind game.
Yeah.
I love it.
I don't know.
What I love it.
But you each secretly choose. So you play a spell and you write which stack you put it on and then you flip over the paper.
Oh my God.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yes. I love it.
Anything else from that episode?
From that era?
I did.
Of Once Upon a Time?
I did say in that episode that I, quote, like to beat people with a sledgehammer.
Wow, Maria.
Ooh. It's still true.
How's that?
Still true.
And yet Loxodon Smiter is not really your card.
No. And he has a giant hammer. He's an elephant with a hammer.
Yeah.
You now do get the Hammer of Purphoros. That's a giant hammer which you can just beat people with.
Yeah, totally. Love it. I love it, you know?
Mm-hmm. If only it were playable.
It's a little slow.
A little slow
for what I want to do.
But do you know what? When you're playing against control,
I want to know.
Churning out dudes.
I want to know what was your favorite magic moment from your year of playing?
Oh snap!
It's a tough question.
Yeah.
So chew on it for a little bit, figuratively.
Hmm.
And then spit out what you've chewed into my brain mouth.
I had I have two draft decks in mind.
Yeah.
One was a Dismiss into Dreams deck.
Oh, that deck is a son of a bitch.
Almost got there. I played it wrong, but almost so close. Ugh. Like, I definitely won a lot of games with it, and then almost took me all the way. The other one was a Dragon's Maze Is It deck.
Cool.
That had two Nivik Cyclopses and two of the what are they called? Flux Chargers.
Yeah.
So the 1/4 defender that gets +3/+0 and can attack, and the 1/5 flyer that turns into a 5/1 when you play spells or sorceries.
So a you spell got or sorcery. So many bonuses from spells and sorceries.
Oh yeah. And that game or that deck won. I 3-0'd with that deck, and it definitely won some games where it was just like, derp, derp, derp. Oh, oop, drew this card. Oh, now you can't win. Cards Offer the Guilds, like multicolored creatures can't block.
Oh my God.
Or no, monocolored creatures couldn't block.
Yeah.
And he's got like all these, he's got his mono blockers, and I'm like, oh, I guess I'll just play this and have unblockable 5/1 flyers, and then I'll probably just win.
Oh, wow, snap, man. That's crazy.
I could really just picture all of my opponents just like being very frustrated with the cards I drew.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Megan, what's your top magic moment from year of playing?
I don't know that I can think of any specific moment. I feel like any of the times I was ever like, I felt like I won because I made the correct choice.
Mm. Yeah.
Like I made a really good play.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or you like thought of something ahead of time.
Exactly. Or it's like I saw the only possible way that I could have won that game.
And you made it.
And I made that play.
Nice.
So it's, you know, it's like hard to recall those moments, you know, months down the road. But it's like, do you know what? Like, I remember that feeling of just being like,
yeah.
Hells yeah.
The right call. The feeling of inevitability in a magic game is unlike no other.
Mm-hmm.
When you know there is no way your opponent can win.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember, this is my question for you,
yeah,
the moment where you realized that this was your life now? Like, do you remember back to the magic game you're playing when you're like, holy shit, this game is amazing?
I think the point of no return was that first draft we went to.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That was okay. Like when it was like, oh, now this is a thing we do.
Yeah, that was so fun. And like, it was such a feeling of discovery. And then when I did so well in that draft, I was like, maybe I can actually play a game that I don't think that my brain was wired to play well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I knew it was a challenge going into learning to play it, but I felt like maybe I can defeat that thing about me that I don't think is so good.
Yeah.
And show it that I can learn.
I can.
Huh. Interesting.
But my number one moment was when I nearly won a pre-release with a Rakdos deck with Exava and Desecration Demon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you.
That's a sweet combination.
Yeah, lost in the finals, you guys. But I was so proud of getting that far because I had people in the store betting that I was going to win. And that made me feel proud because I was like, that's pretty good confidence, yeah. Even if you let those people down.
And then you threw it because you took a payback.
Yeah,
that was
I did.
The most Rakdos play of all.
Thank you.
It really would have been.
But think of all the places we've gone for Magic in the past. We went to Gen Con.
We went to Gen Con.
That was awesome. Yeah. We would have never done that.
We went Indianapolis, to Kansas City.
Very exciting places.
Ames, Iowa.
Totally went there.
Fabulous Ames, Iowa, everybody. What a place.
We went to Texas and played.
You guys did come to Texas. That was awesome.
We played in Canada.
We played in Canada.
Coon Rapids.
Yeah.
Minnesota.
Coon Rapids. I've played in Amsterdam and Berlin.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
I played in Oakland.
Yeah.
Yes. And just think, anywhere in the country we go, even if we move or like I'm getting a new job, I'm going to a different school, we can still always find a game store and play.
That's pretty sweet.
That's
it's
so
like
true.
Having a little harbor in whatever place you are, a safe harbor.
Yeah.
Before when I interviewed for a job in Portland, Oregon, before I moved there after college.
Yeah.
And that's what I did on Friday night was I went and did a draft there.
Yeah.
Nice.
For sure.
Very nice.
I haven't even thought about that till now. Like, I'll never feel like too much of an outsider in a town because I'll always be able to go to the store and play.
I think about it a lot because I like going places.
Yeah.
That's a real thing for me. I'm like,
yeah.
I like going places. Well, at least I'll know Magic players. But I won't know Magic players like you guys.
Oh, I'm going to cry out of my butt.
Fuck. What? Don't do that. While you're sitting on my couch, please.
Oh, I've got sad anus.
That's also
gross.
Sanus.
Sanus. And now we're going to recreate one of many people's favorite moments on the show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where we feed Ben a cookie.
What?
There was a time.
You guys know
then.
I'm not really on paleo anymore, right?
I know.
Our listeners
but you know
don't
what?
Know. Now they do.
No.
Secret had to come out, guys.
Open up.
But I'm.
Don't you get that cookie on my couch. You better eat that thing. Here you go.
Everyone, Ben has changed in that he'll now freely eat cookies.
He will.
Sorry, paleo listeners.
But you know what? There's still twice as much sugar in that cookie as there is in a normal cookie, so.
That's why they're so good.
He's going to have a little bit of a...
Of a rush?
He's going to have a little bit of a ride
ahead
of him.
Feel the cookie. It's a good thing I have such genetically strong teeth.
His teeth are covered in chocolate. Oh, God.
Do I have a little bit of shit tooth going on?
I have so many bad pictures of Ben, but this one may take the cake that I just took on my phone. Yep.
We'll post that online for you to enjoy.
Please follow us at MTA Cast to get a load of that. A handsome, handsome man.
Yeah. Let's do a little bit of a throwback with a euphemism.
Sure.
That we can come up with out of some of these cards right here.
Let's.
A psychic spiral is essentially the same thing as gaslighting. It's making someone think that they're crazy so that they'll stay with you.
Oh God, wait, what's gaslighting?
Oh man, it's this like old fashioned term of like when lights in houses used to be lit by gas. Men, I don't know where the term came from. It's some sort of like gothic shit. They would dim, you could dim the lights just a little bit every day, and the guy would know that was happening, and the woman would not. So she would be like, "Is it darker in here?"
The guy would do it.
The guy would dim the lights on purpose, and she'd be like, "Is it darker in here today?" And he'd be like, "No." And then he'd dim it a little more the next day, and she'd be like, "Isn't it darker in here?" And he'd be like, "No, you're crazy."
That sounds horrible.
It's a real thing, right? It's a terrible thing. Anyways, Wait, don't do that.
And you would do that so someone would stay with you?
You know, you do it so that...
think that they're crazy.
That you can send her to the nut house.
Yeah, so you can send them to the nut
house. Oh, that's convenient. Yeah. I mean, you can do the same thing with electric lights. I'll show you how.
I've got a chemist's trick, which is a...
that's the same as that's the gaslighting thing.
Gaslighting.
I was going to say that's any sort of birth control. Oh, that's any sort of pill-based birth control.
I was going to say it was a chemist who was a prostitute.
Oh, that too.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's a chemist.
Some chemists need to turn
learn
tricks.
Magic, like magic card tricks.
Oh, yeah.
In order to get women to suck on his chemist's pole.
What is chemist's pole?
It's a giant growth.
Giant growth. Well,
we all know
obvious.
What giant growth
that's
is.
Obvious.
I think that was an early.
No, don't go there. Don't go there.
Don't go there.
Chronic flooding happens every month. Am I right? Train Caracal. Oh,
Kotex shredder.
We already know what right? Kotex shredder is.
Oh my god.
Perilous shadow.
That's shit stains on your underwear.
Oh, you know what? You know what? Pursuit of flight is
what?
It's when you get kicked off a plane because you're, or it's when you get banned from an airline because you have repeatedly tried to join the Mile High Club.
Yes, nice. Totally.
Nice.
So, thanks, listeners, for coming along with us on this year-long journey.
Yes, I know many of you did not do it willingly.
Many of you were forced.
Many of you were.
In that case, we thank your captor. Mm-hmm. And I hope you continue on us with our journey as Megan and I continue to improve as magic players, fingers crossed, and Ben continues to say snarky comments at us.
You guys could be much better than you are.
When did you start smoking?
Well, I never smoked until I saw you guys do a draft for the first time.
Boy,
oh my lord.
All right, Aunt Ben.
So yeah, we're going to celebrate our year of podcasting coming up Saturday, January 4th at Mead Hall in Minneapolis. Starting at 6 p.m., we're going to do a live podcast episode and we're going to do some giveaways. Yeah. I'm going to give away a playmat. Ben's going to give away a bag of garbage.
And a free date with Ben Gartner.
And a free date.
Oh, wow. To the highest bidder.
I don't know what Megan's going to give away.
Nothing.
Okay. Come for that. Stay for the 7 p.m. Triple Return to Ravnica.
I will give away cake,
and everyone will get some of it.
Oh, that's true. So, that's true.
And by the way, the podcast starts at 6.
Yeah.
But if you come at 5:30, there will be cake.
Yep.
There will be other stuff.
And 7, play a draft with us. I think it's going to be super fun.
Yeah,
Triple
man.
RTR. I think that was a good format.
Triple RTR is a ton of fun.
I think it's really fun.
Yeah. I'm going to force is it. I'm just going to promise that right now.
I'm going to force Rakdos. You already knew that was going to happen.
I'm going to force Celestia.
All right, good.
I think we're good.
I think we're good.
We're fine.
Ben, sit to my left.
I hope we're at the same table.
I really do. I really do. We're going to be just fine, guys.
I think we have to be at the same table. Can we request it?
Yeah, of course we can.
Okay, good.
Of
good.
And we should force those colors.
I'm just saying, hysterical. I don't know what I could open that would make. I could open a Sphinx's Revelation, maybe.
You could open a million things. A Vraska.
Yeah.
You could open a Jace.
True. That's true. Ooh, oh, a God, a Jace.
Yeah.
Actually, Vraska, you'd probably still go right.
Yeah, I probably still would.
Splasher. You.
A Splasher.
Get out of my town. Okay. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah. Really, thank you for being our listener. And if you've listened to all of our episodes, tweet it at us at MTAcast and let us know, and we'll give you a gold star.
And if this was your first episode, I hope you listen to more.
Yeah. Me too.
And hopefully we'll still be doing this in another year.
And now you don't have to listen to episode 1 because we pretty much recapped all of it. So
you're
welcome.
You yeah, this is a great catch-up episode.
Yeah, you now know everything about us.
Yeah. So if you have Dear Abby letters for next week, you can tweet them at us at MTAcast, or you can email them to us at magicktheamaturing@gmail.com.
Please do. Please do. Check it out.
Yep.
You can also carve them into the giant oak tree outside of the Capitol in St. Paul. We check that once a week.
Yep, we sure do.
We sure do.
And you can send us a message on themeadery.org, which is a social network for magic players.
It's pretty sweet, guys. Check it out.
Yeah.
And if you would like us to make a little joke that's uniquely tailored to you, you can leave us a review on iTunes, and we will make a pun out of your username.
Oh, you guys. Thanks. Oh, yeah. Thanks for podcasting me this one year. Hold my hands right now, both of you.
Okay.
I feel your power.
Wait. Did you just steal my playability?
Yes.
Thank you. I've got it now. I've got it.
Damn it.
Fuck. I feel the quickening.
I think that's when you get pregnant.
Bye, guys. See you next time.
See you next week.